Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hey, Susie, what's up this week?
Hello, groomers. Welcome to episode 248, live 13 of the Groom Pod, recorded on March 31st, 2020 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona, both of us sequestered. This podcast, actually, we're going to do a game show. And if we have time, we will be talking about carding and possibly cocamidopropylbutane in ear wash, maybe? Anyway, sure. I want to tell you about this fantastic new sponsor, and that is the Absorber Towel. The Absorber Towel from dogloverstowel.com. It is changing my world. The Absorber Towel really helps me cut down on drying time. It has an interesting feel. It feels kind of like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser flattened out into a sheet, and it's really quite durable. It is saving me laundry costs. It's saving me space in my mobile, and it's really quite a fascinating little tool. I'm keeping it in a container with vinegar inside, and it is so far working really well. I rotate them, but you know what? You can wash them in the laundry. You can leave them out to dry. If they dry out, you just rehydrate them. The ones that are cut in half, I can wring them with my hands without any pain at all. And I was really worried about that. So if you guys are interested in learning more about the Dog Lover's Towel, the Absorber Towel, you go to dogloverstowel.com and let them know that the Groom Pod sent you. Cool. Good. Okay. So we are on total shutdown. I've been in the house for a while, but luckily I have been training every single winter for this opportunity because, you know, we get snowed in for weeks at a time and I'm used to being stuck here. The beauty is I can actually go to the store. I mean, we don't usually have that luxury, nor do we usually have power. It's twofold better than normal. So they've shut you guys down, haven't they?
Well, yeah, we got the stay-at-home edict from the governor, and that makes it out of integrity for customers to come to me. So I think I'm going to have to shut down and maybe just do a couple. I'm going to do the bearded collie that comes in every 2 weeks because to go an extra 2 weeks is just... Oh, it's suicide. And I'll probably do the Westie for the demo for the virtual trade show. And we may quit there. We'll see. The pressure is on to stay at home. And I don't mind staying at home. I'm getting a little more worried. I am such a high-risk person myself.
Well, I don't know if they are letting the whole world know about this, but here in Washington State, where we have been basically asked to stay home for over a month and are looking at yet another month of staying at home, we have reduced our hospitalizations by 20% this last week. So 20% less hospitalizations this week over the week prior. And it had done nothing but go up until then. So we've actually had quite a drop. That only here, and I'm sure they're not really telling anybody because they don't want people to think that they're in the clear by any means. But we are seeing positive effects with distancing. Whatever kind of distancing you want to call it, your personal bubble, so following the virus rules, social distancing or physical distancing, they're changing the way they talk about it all the time. But all we know here is in the Seattle area is it's working, and that's great.
Oh, God. It's such an adventure if it just wasn't so fucking scary.
Yes. Yeah, it's a tough one for sure. So what went on with you this week other than staying home? Because you only just got that order. You actually worked this week. I've been sitting here twiddling my thumbs.
Actually, it was the stay at home actually only went into effect yesterday. We worked 2 days, and I'm able to pay this month's rent, and I paid this month's mortgage. But I'm going to have to further reduce, and I'm scared about what's going to happen next month. But I'm getting more scared of acquiring the virus. I am traveling to the shop because here's where my internet is.
Well, I did one dog last week because I deemed it medically necessary. And if I was going to be questioned, I absolutely could explain why I did that dog. It's the Chow Australian Shepherd mix. And the lady,
right.
The lady is, I don't know, somewhere between you and me in age, and she has an adult developmentally disabled brother that she takes care of, and they cannot wash this dog, and occasionally he gets poop on his butt, and I couldn't see them staying in their tiny apartment with a big dog with poop on its butt and having that be a hazard. And yeah, I felt it was borderline whether I should have gone out or not, but I did it, and we didn't have any contact. She just tied the dog up, and I took the dog, and I sprayed everything down with alcohol. But otherwise, I've been baking. I may very well be 300 pounds by the time this is over. That's the bad thing.
You know, speaking of cockabut, what I want to do, and if I do completely shut down here, I'm going to have the time to do it, is even if I can't be videotaping tips for home grooming, I can post it on my blog, on the groom blog. And that poop butt, one thing you can do at home that it can really help you clean that up is cornstarch.
Oh.
You know, just layer the area with cornstarch and let it soak in for maybe 10 or 20 minutes and then start brushing it out. It will dry it up and allow you to kind of slip it out with a brush or a comb.
Well, my emergency suggestion to them, just in case I really wasn't going to go over there, even though I figured if I glove up, I'm pretty safe. It's, you know, we don't have any contact, but was to go down to the feed store, which is just a little bit down the street from their house, and get some Cowboy Magic, because that works pretty well. And I thought they could spray that back there and kind of comb brush that through. He'll let her do that. He's just too big for them to pick up and put in their bathtub and wrestle with. And it would just be too much for them by far. So,
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did do that.
I kind of like my idea better than yours.
Well, they didn't do it. So I'll pass it along.
Yeah. It dries it up.
Yeah. That's nice.
I learned this. This is one of the things that I did with Arturo, the paralyzed Borzoi, and it was very helpful. I mean, that's when I kind of reconnected with the positive aspects of cornstarch, was keeping that paralyzed, incontinent dog cleaned. That's when having a firm stool was really important.
I could see that. Well, you know, they've made some rulings about sole proprietors and single ownership LLCs and unemployment in a lot of the states, which I think is going to be very helpful for a lot of people. There's also small business association loans that you can get, but I want to warn people that paying back a small business loan can be a challenge. And even though they appear to be forgiving some of those loans, they're not forgiving all the loans. And don't bite off more than you can chew. Try to find better ways to do it than taking out loans if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So there's so much to consider and so much to do and so much to be creative. But I like the idea of posting some stuff on my blog. You might notice on our discussion group, Susie just posted a video I did yesterday of trimming around the bearded collie eyes. I did not videotape the entire, Lord help me, grooming of the bearded collie. This is such a little point, you know. I did a nice little 8.5 minute video of trimming around the eyes to give a really natural, nice expression to the bearded collie, because pet owners, home grooming of the bearded collie can be really ugly.
I bet. I'm not too worried about my guys. Actually, I'm not too worried about my business at all. Everybody will be there waiting for me, even if it's 2 months. It's fine. But Well, I know that a lot of people are on a much finer shoestring than that. And I just feel for everybody. And I wanted to send my compassion out to all you guys who are struggling. And hopefully you are finding some positive ways to get through your day. Because there's a lot of day to get through. Yeah. All right. Hey, we've got something really fun to do this week. We're going to do a game show. And I think we're going to go ahead and get started. What do you say, Barbara?
I'm ready when you are.
Okay. We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15:1 for deep cleaning, 50:1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot's special coat-releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Well, this game show is called Groom Those Ears. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so happy to have you with us on Groom Those Ears. This is a game show where we'll be asking the all-important question, how do you groom those ears? The group we're going to focus on today is the Terrier Group. Here's how we play the game. I'll pick a breed from the Terrier Group, or I'll take suggestions from the group over here. Oh, look, there's all these comments, and I'm missing them all again. Or I'll take suggestions from the group, and we will ask Barbara, how does she trim those Terrier ears? For instance, Barbara, tell me how to trim an Airedale's ears.
Well, a good way is a 10 blade all over, outside and inside, and then carefully edge the ears with scissors.
Yes. Okay, well, that's a win. So I'm using Dog Grooming Simplified by Jody Murphy.
Yay, also, Jody.
Yay. I also have notes from the grooming table. So I've got double references just to double check Barbara's grooming. And let's start the game, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to throw you a softball, Barbara.
Okay.
Are you ready? Tell me how to do Westie ears.
Well, Westie ears are clipped very short on the tips. That would just be the top fourth of the ear. And on the back of the ear, it's soft and velvety. So you don't want to clean it out with a 10 blade, but you might want to use like a 4 or a 5 blade on the outside back of the ears.
When you're saying the soft velvety part on the inside of the ears or the back side of the ear?
The back side of the ear.
Okay. 1/4 shaved down with a 10 blade with a soft back of the ear.
Right. The soft back of the ear can be with something longer than a 10 blade. You don't want it to look shaved back there, but you want it to be close and velvety. So you do want to attend to it, right? Okay.
I had a question and now I lost it. Never mind.
Well, let me just make another comment. Since the top of the Westie crown should be like to the point where the tipping begins, you know, to the same point where you dip down, for your pet Westie that you're not teasing the hair up to be that full. You might want to come down a little more and take more like a third, even a half of that ear off. Because otherwise it looks like they're wearing some kind of a scarf behind their head. But if you want to keep that circle, but reduce the circle around the head, you could take a little bit more off the ear so that the top of the crown meets where you've clipped.
I'll give you a point on that one. You got that right. Okay, so not that I expect you to get any wrong, because I don't.
No, I can get, I'm only human.
Well, that's true. Okay.
Believe it.
All right, since we did the Westie, let's do the Cairn Terrier. Let's see if you can tell us the difference. By the way, everyone thinks, they're loving your hair.
Oh, thank you, everybody.
Yes.
It's my favorite new hair.
It's good hair. I like the hair. Okay, so Cairn Terrier ears.
Okay, Cairn Terrier ears are similar to Westie ears, but they're more revealed. They're slightly more revealed. Okay, so you would probably tip down, clip the inside of the ear one third of the way down. And the back of the ear, I'm going to say they should be kind of soft and velvety. You don't want to have bushiness behind the ears of either one of those breeds.
Okay. Here in notes from the grooming table, it says even go down halfway. So way more exposed than the West ear.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Very interesting. I give you another point on that one. I am not keeping score. Full disclosure. All right. So since we're doing little short squatty terriers, how about the Scotty?
Okay, the Scotty ears are very intricate, actually. So the Scotty ears, the back two-thirds is very clean, and the back edge is very clean. But you leave a tuft on about one-third of the front of the ear that forms the tuft. And what I do is fold the ear in half and cut that to be even, so that both sides are even. You really do not want a little hula skirt around your Scotty ears. And believe me, I've seen that. I had a Scotty and a neighbor that was at the end of my block. She had a yard, and the Scotty would come out, and oh my God, I wanted to redo that Scotty so much. But she was just like, totally happy with the little hula skirt on the ears and the bigger hula skirt around the body.
So when you're talking about making it even, you mean like it doesn't extend out beyond the shape of the ear?
Right, right. You don't want anything sticking out behind the back edge of that the outside edge, let's call it the outside and the inside. You don't want anything sticking beyond the outside of that ear. It is visible. The edge is visible.
Okay, that's another point for you. Here comes an easy, easy one. Sky Terrier.
Oh, God, you might be stumping me.
Cool.
I haven't seen a Sky Terrier. I'm just going to say they're left full.
They are left full. I was going to go over here to the Facebook watchers and ask if anybody over there knew.
You got to give the old birdie brain time to turn around a little bit and come up with an idea.
Yes, yeah.
It's still working. The bird brain is still working, but it's a little bit slower.
Yorkshire Terrier.
Oh, that's another tipped ear. And that's another tipping that can kind of vary with how you're grooming the head and the face. If you're going to groom in a little Westie look, that's common, right? That's kind of a common way to kind of make a round head and have little ear tips. You want to tip those ears. What do you do if the ears are dropped?
Yeah, what do you do?
Well, you can take your pick. You know, like mostly I would just trim those ears and then occasionally take them down with like a 5-blade.
Okay. How about soft coat Wheaton Terrier?
Oh, good one. Because this one is one of the most often improperly groomed ears. So the deal is you trim from where the ears fold. From where the ears fold to the end of the ear, you clip off. But you leave and blend into the head crest the part of the ear where the fold is across the top of the head. Am I explaining that correctly?
Well, it's one of the harder ones to explain.
Yeah, it's one of the harder ones to explain, but you don't clip all the way to the base of the skull. You do not clip all the way to the base of the skull. You clip from where you can just, you can see where it's folding, and you can actually kind of fold it with your fingers and see even better, and then trim that down to the end of the ear. So the bottom is short and clipped, and the base of the ear is left blended into the top of the head.
What happens underneath?
Underneath?
10-blade clean out the inside of
yeah,
the ear?
Yeah, I usually do clean up inside of the ear.
Okay.
And next.
Next, Kerry Blue.
Ooh. Oh. Oh, I'm going to say clean ears.
I think they are clean ears. I'm just getting there. I think this is it. Let me verify.
They are clean ears, I would say, in contrast to the Wheaton Terrier. The Kerry Blue Terrier ears are clipped to the base of the skull.
So I'm not finding, it's got some of them. Let's see what she says.
Well, and there's a whole bunch of them that are similar. You know, the long-legged terriers, like
yeah.
Wire Fox Terrier, Irish Terrier, Welsh Terrier. You know, all of those long-legged terriers, they pretty much have clean ears inside and out. Schnauzer.
Right.
You know, so that kind of groups together.
Okay. I got one. Glenavimal.
Okay.
Glenavimal.
Aha. So Glenavimal, the ears are clipped, but only to look naturally short. So you do see the edge of the ear, but it's not a shaved look ever. So it's just either clippered or thinning scissor. I don't like to use thinning scissors around the ears because it's really easy to cut into the flesh of an ear, and holy guacamole, that's a bleeding volcano.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have.
It's almost as bad as cutting a tongue. I mean, they just bleed and bleed.
Ew.
Okay, so what does your book say? What does the book say?
I got distracted.
Glenavimal.
Yeah, okay, that's right. Here we go.
You see the ears.
It is.
The top of the crown there kind of covers the base of the ear.
It is, but they're definitely shaved. Probably.
Yeah,
with a 5 or a 4.
Looks like a 5. I usually use a 5.
Let's see what she doesn't that, really.
I really worked on my Glenavimal Terrier because I unexpectedly we had a few in town.
I remembered that.
Yeah. And, you know, and one of them had the right foot was like at almost 90 degrees bent to the outside. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Ballet foot. And
yes.
I said, and, you know, and to me, that was just like a horrible fault. And I said, what's with this? And he said, oh, she has an Irish foot.
Okay. Speaking Speaking of Irish feet, how about Irish ears? Irish terrier ears.
Smooth, clean, very short.
Very short.
Ken blade.
Okay.
Ken blade inside and out.
Okay.
Edge those ears. Very
okay.
Edged.
Australian terrier.
Australian terrier ears are cleaned out in the back and to the base, but there is a overhang of crown hair that sort of falls in front of the bottom of the ears.
Excellent. I got another really fun one. Dandy Dinmont.
Oh, Dandy Dinmont. I have groomed a couple. I love the Dandy Dinmont Terrier that's pictured in Jody Murphy's book. It just makes me want one so bad. They have tasseled ears, and the tassels are at the point at which it just blends into the side of the face.
They're adorable.
So cute. And, you know, it's just a little bit tricky. Because you want to get that, you don't want to come down too low, but you don't want to have these puffy tassels that don't blend in with the shape of the head. You know, this dandy in the book is so adorable. Their eyes are just like, oh, give me one. And I know they're probably barking assholes at home. You know, like I found out with the Maltese.
Right. Okay. One of my favorite dogs in her book is the Brussels Griffon. So how do you do a Brussels ears?
No, you might have me here. I know their head is kind of plucked full. I'm going to say tipped.
Yeah, actually, they're completely cleaned off. Base all the way out. Yep.
All right. I never groomed one.
Oh, the dog in here is so beautiful. Yeah, good job, though. So tipped and edged and distinct. Definitely.
All right. Good. Good. All
okay.
right. See, I'm human.
I think we pretty much got. Did we miss anything, anybody?
The Bedlington Terrier also has tasseled ears, and the Bedlington Terrier ears, you make like a diamond shape on the ear leather where you cut your it's so technical, little diamond shape. You don't want a big ball. I love to do tasseled ears on poodles and then groom the tassel bottom to be like kind of like a ball, and then put puffs and bracelets on their feet and a little round tail, and everything's just bobbing along. Oh, I love to do that. And you use a 40 blade if you dare.
They're pretty cool looking ears.
They are. They're very cool. They're very technical. And would you believe that I chose to certify on a Bedlington? What was I thinking?
Yeah, what were you thinking? That's crazy.
Well, I was thinking that I gave my schnauzer to my employee to do. He did the schnauzer, and then the only other long-legged terrier I had at the moment was the Bedlington. So I did it. Hey, I passed. I passed well.
Okay. I got a couple more.
Okay.
You got to tell me which is which, though. Norfolk.
Norfolk terrier ears are cleaned off, and they are drop.
Yep, they're ears. Folded. They're folded.
They're folded, and Norwich ears are cleaned off, but in the front, the top of the head kind of covers them.
It's not an actual tuft, but it does block the front of the ear.
Yeah, no, it's not from the ear hair. It's really from the face hair that covers the base of the ear. So you pretty much clean them out real good and edge them.
Well, doggone it, you know your terriers, Barbara.
Hey, I do call myself a terrier specialist.
There you go. So,
and hey, I'm going to give you a little hardly known factoid about the Westie.
Okay.
That's not about the ears, but this is one of these points that sometimes they throw at you in a certification written test. because they have to think up little dipshit stuff, right?
Right.
The feet of the Westie, the front feet are actually larger than the rear feet. True.
I'm going to have to look at that. Just the Westies?
True. Yeah, well, I don't know. I haven't. That's the most prominent one that I've run into. And I've never actually seen them look obviously larger.
But, well, now I'm going to look at every single one. It'll be the first thing I do.
Let's measure across the palm there.
Our hands are moneymakers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
We had a question on the Facebook group about surfactants in ear cleaners, primarily cocamidopropylbutane in ear cleaners. So how do you feel about that?
I don't have much of a feeling. The reason that they're in there is to promote spreadability of the product. One of the things a surfactant does is that it promotes spreadability, whether it's by way of a little foaminess or in the water. It allows the product to move around and be applied to the ear. If they can cut the grease a little a bit because they have the oil-loving end and the water-loving end. So the surfactants can help to break up the oiliness of the ear. Didn't expect that. I think it's an okay thing.
And it cuts the wax, right? I mean, that's
cuts the wax. It cuts the wax and oiliness. And not every ear cleaner uses a surfactant. Sometimes they use a solvent to cut the wax and the oiliness of the ear. It's not in the same amount or percentage that you would use in a shampoo, but it's used in a small amount, a more of an ingredient that would go towards the bottom of the list. surface rather than the top, right?
Right. So when you're cleaning ears, you're using a cotton pad, right? I'm still using a cotton ball. Either way is okay, I would think.
Yeah, either way is okay. What you want to be real careful of when you're cleaning ears is that you don't accidentally push debris down into the ear. You know, when I learned to groom, I learned to put cotton balls in the ears before the bath. Actually, and this is another thing that the canine dermatologist pointed this out to us, that's a really bad idea because it just pokes debris further down into the ear canal and then just blocks it from coming back. Plus, more than once, I had a dog come back the next month with one or both ears having cotton. Oh, he just doesn't seem to be paying attention to me so much anymore.
That's what happens to me. I leave him in there.
I think we fixed it. Oh, I had a fix-it experience. Did I tell you about the stick fleas?
No, what's that?
Stick fleas are these. They're kind of in between a flea and a tick. They bite and then they kind of stand up on end. So they can, if they group together, they make a very rough surface. So I was grooming Lucy, the black cocker, giving her a total shave down, summer cut. And I got to her ears, and as I'm holding the edge of the ear to trim the edge, my thumb felt something really rough and scaly.
Weird.
I first detected this with my thumb, and then I looked, and holy guacamole, there was this colony. At first it looked like a scab or a sore or something wrong with the skin. But as I got out my magnifying, you know, you get these 3x magnifiers, 3x magnifiers, large with lights on them. They're at Ace Hardware now. And I have one of those that I got. I have one at home and one here. I looked at this scaly part real closely, and goddamn, it was a colony, a whole colony of stick fleas.
Ew.
Stuck on her ear. And see, the owner had been telling me, the dog had been twice to the vet for ear medicine, and this guy sleeps with his dog, but he puts a sheet on top of his bed for her. And he's been waking up, and the sheet has got yellow debris in there and blood, and she's itching her ears like crazy. Well, stick fleas itch like a bitch.
I've never even heard of them. We must not have them up here.
They come from birds, and they come under trees. They get them under trees in the yard, and they're very hard to see as singles, but... And so I was hero because I identified why she wasn't responding to the ear cleaning and the ear medication because she didn't have anything wrong inside her ears.
It was outside.
She had stick fleas. And so she happened to have a vet visit the following day to do a dental, and they found more on her eyebrows and her inner leg or something like that. So she's now on heartworm flea tick medication and feeling ever so much better. But I was hero. I solved the problem.
Good job. So yeah, I got a question.
Yeah.
Since we'd started this journey like 5 years ago, I have stopped pulling ear hair on most of the dogs. I only do it occasionally. But I've also stopped cleaning healthy ears.
Yeah,
Am I right or wrong there?
You're actually right.
I figure, why should I mess with a healthy environment if I'm not seeing anything that needs messing with?
I've read that in a separate place, kind of. Not only do you not have to pluck the hair out, but you don't really need to clean the ears. It's a natural thing. What I do is I use mustache scissors and little teeny mini... mini Cremato.
A little trimmer.
Well, Brav Mini.
Yeah, okay.
I use this because it's not intimidating to the dogs. And I can clean out and kind of cut short the inside of the ears that way. So, you know, the job of the ear is to bring out the wax and the debris from inside the ear. So the more times you use cotton and you're cleaning and you're actually pushing debris down in there, and, groomers raised their hands when the dermatologist laid that on us and said, well, what about getting water in the ears? And she says, well, most dogs will shake their head and get rid of that water.
Okay.
If you've really gotten a lot of water down in that ear, you could clean out with an alcohol-based ear cleaner. Alcohol will displace water.
Okay.
And dry the ears out.
I do clean dirty ears. If they're dirty, I'll get the wax out, but nothing farther than where I can see. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Our last subject for today is carding. I want to take a stroll down memory lane, Barbara, to when you very first learned about carding, because my first memories of carding, I was training from a lady who went to the Nash Academy in Lexington, and she was teaching me how to card with a 40 blade held in between my thumb and fingers. And I was pulling out fluffy undercoat of the then shaved really short back of a schnauzer. And that's my first remembrance of using a carding tool. What was your first?
Oh, God. Susie.
Okay, never mind.
I can't remember what I did yesterday. And you're asking me to remember back, like 50 years ago? How did I learn? I learned carding in doing double-coated dogs, huskies and malamutes and yada, yada, yada. And we would card with rakes.
Okay.
Now, finer carding, I do a lot. I don't know how I learned it. And I didn't learn the term carding for the longest time. I mean, it's only been like the last 10 years that I've used that term carding. And I did my first experience with the term carding was when I had a 4-H lamb. And that was something that you did to prepare the lamb for a presentation at the 4-H show. But it was more like patting the hair all down to make it be thick and uniform and not just fluffy.
Oh, interesting.
You know, it was a little bit different. You used kind of the back side of a large, giant slicker brush to pack that back. Maybe we slickered through it first. I don't remember that. But that was the term carding. I ran into that in 4-H. And it didn't catch up to me in dog grooming until maybe 10 years ago. And I used to call a terrier term muck out.
Right.
Muck out the coat.
I think that's one that comes over from England, the mucking out of the coat.
The mucking out of the coat. And I used that a lot in my teaching and everything until this term carding became more universally accepted. And I used a stripping knife. And the way that I card with a stripping knife is that I push it from the front of the dog to the back. And then I can push down the leg, but by pushing it, you know, this would be one of the latter things I did after I did some, either clipped it or hand stripped it. Then I would muck it out by carding with a stripping knife. And of course, we use rakes and stuff like that. And we use
Co-Kings, yeah. Ferminator. Yeah,
I occasionally use a Ferminator, but I'm a little bit suspect of that because the Ferminator is actually based on that way that you used the 40 blade.
Yeah,
I know. It's like a 40 blade in a weighted handle.
Not my favorite.
What people don't recognize is that the Ferminator or the 40 blade can really do a lot of damage to the top coat hairs, the primary hairs. Yes, it will muck out the fuzzy stuff underneath, which is what you want to do card, but it can really rough up the top hairs. And those hairs don't shed. Those hairs shed more like every 7 years rather than every day, every other day, like some coats seem to.
So I just got a text message from my second client who's tested positive out of my 130 people that I have in my client base. No. I have two that have tested positive. This is the second one. She's at home. She has MS, so she's definitely a compromised person.
Oh, poor thing. Oh, God.
That was just a public service notice there. Two
she
clients.
She must be scared to death.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. So I'm going to call her after we're done here. Okay, back to carding. So let's describe some of the situations you would use carding. One of them is for me to do whatever I can to keep a clippered terrier having some color in the back. Sometimes it helps a little bit, right?
It can help a whole lot. It can help a whole lot because what happens when you clip is that over time, the finer undercoat hairs will monopolize the hair follicle. They leave less room and less space for that fresh, new, fat, hard primary hair to grow in. So the primary hairs all become anemic, so to speak. They lose color, they lose hardness, they just become more like undercoat themselves. So when you card and you really remove, it's like weeding the garden, and you remove a whole bunch of those weeds, you create room in the hair follicles for a fresher primary hair to make its appearance.
I'm glad because I've been going under that premise for a while and it seemed to work with my Welsh Terriers. Now I don't have any, so I'm not really getting to use it.
Well, it's not the same as plucking and hand stripping, but it is helpful. I especially do that on terriers that don't tolerate the hand stripping, where the people kind of want the results of hand stripping, but the dog doesn't want to go through the process. You know, I don't force any dog that absolutely hates hand stripping. I'm not going to do it. It makes me cry, you know?
Yeah.
It makes me cry. So what I do for those is called a hybrid strip. And the largest part of a hybrid strip or a partial strip is to card out the coat really thoroughly.
Another place that I've learned to use carding is when I have clipper lines. Sometimes if I card the clipper lines, they will come away. I don't know what it pulls the tiny fuzz out of there, and it lays down better. Yeah.
The other thing that I do for clipper lines is I use my half moon comb on the fine side, and I comb over the area. And the fine tooth comb does some of the same thing. It pulls out other hair to sort of more cover up your line.
Yeah, then maybe hit it with the blenders and it would just disappear away like an eraser. That's a good idea. Then the other place that I often use the carding situation is on the shoulders and the hips of the golden retrievers that get so fluffy and Irish setters. Yeah, man, that really helps.
Yeah, absolutely. And you would do that on the top line too. If you were serious for show, you would card out the top line of your sporting breeds. And definitely, that's one place where I really use the Furminator is on the shoulders where that fuzzy stuff just, it's all by itself sitting there. You just got to get rid of it.
My favorite tool is a classic stripping knife because I can hold the handle, I can wrap it. And
And the classic stripping knife has a nice fat blade where you can just put your thumb right on the blade.
It's easier for my hands. So the other thing we didn't really talk about is the stripping stones. And I am totally lame with the stripping stones, but they work pretty good on the fuzz area too, don't they?
And just what do you mean by stripping stone? Do you mean the little stones with a handle?
The one that looks like pumice, not the little one with the handle. I've seen the one with the handle, but I've never used one.
I make these homemade stripping stones. I take a horse grooming block that's like a large block of lava stone, and it's soft enough that you can cut it into pieces. I cut a long piece of that, and I wrap it. And then I go outside on my concrete building where it's got the bricks in there, and I rub the top of it to round the edges. And then we do a lot of stripping with that tool.
Does it crumble when you're using it?
No.
Okay. I just have never gotten the hang of it.
I mean, you can use a pumice stone from the hardware store.
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oh, you don't have to go there. You probably pay a fortune.
You're probably right.
Go to the dollar store.
I dream about going to the dollar store. There's people at the dollar store. I can't go in there. I did go grocery shopping last week. I got all dressed up and went in there and did a big shop. Today, I have to get toilet paper because I'm down to two rolls of Costco toilet paper. And I'm afraid. I'm afraid. So I'm crossing my fingers that there is some there because there is still no toilet paper at my local store. No toilet paper, no vinegar, no alcohol. I need another gallon of vinegar. I'm out of that. Luckily, I'm not grooming, so it's not that big a deal. When is it going to restock? It's so weird that we don't have toilet paper.
I stopped at Ace Hardware today. It was busy. I stopped at Ace Hardware, and one of the things that I noticed is that Teresa, she's kind of the manager and cashier. They built her a large plastic shield that fits on her counter that's about 3 feet high that you look through to talk to her.
I've seen a lot of that.
Yeah, that's really good. So then she's not wearing a mask, but she's behind this mask. And then as I left, I saw this guy bringing large boxes. And when I looked at his vehicle, it was cleaning supplies. I think it was like cases of paper towels. So everybody's working to restock. It's going to happen. And sometimes it's just a matter of timing. You have to get there right when the delivery, when they're put on the shelves, actually.
Well, I'm hoping. Yeah.
You know, and the dollar store is very much that way. They just like sell out of stuff almost in 10 minutes. So you can go in the morning and they've got it. And then in the afternoon, they don't. And sometimes if you act real nice and kind of old, they'll go in the back and they've got a stash.
Oh.
And they'll bring you out a couple of rolls.
Well, I'm a little particular about my toilet tissue. I would prefer to have the Costco toilet tissue or the Charmin toilet tissue. All they had at the last store that I was in, which was a drugstore, was like the
basic toilet tissue, and I just, it was expensive, and it was the worst.
Yeah,
it's like sandpaper.
Well, I just have huge issues with thin toilet paper. I just hate to give myself the finger.
You know why I don't want to go right when they open? It's because it's very difficult to keep the six-foot barrier when you are forced to stand in line and they're only letting a few people in at a time and everybody's pushed in your space. And I'm trying to avoid that.
You just have to become a policeman. Back off!
Well, did you see the dress I posted? The Southern Belle dress with the big hoop skirt on it? That's what we're all going to be wearing is those big hoop skirts to keep everybody away.
That's funny.
I know.
Hey, how are we doing? I've got 10% battery remaining.
Okay, I think we're done. We've covered all the subjects anyway, so I think we can call it a show, as I'm off to say. Anyway, yeah, and I'm going to go get in that Costco line and cross my fingers that I can get some kitty litter, and maybe I can get a gallon of vinegar there. You never know.
I got a gallon of vinegar at Home Depot the other day. It was called cleaning vinegar.
That's a possibility too.
Who knew?
I'm using it for. Yes. Yeah.
Right. That would be me. I'm not using it to make a salad.
No, me either. I'm just putting it in my absorber towels bin so that they're staying
fresh.
Well,
I'm using it a lot as a rinse.
Yeah.
As a final rinse on my terriers. Boy, they come out so nice. Anyway, that's another subject.
I know I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. You guys, show season has hand sanitizer. Let's blow them out of the water with us requesting their hand sanitizer because it's good stuff. Let's meet here next Sunday, not Tuesday. We'll meet on Sunday and do our usual thing.
I'll be here.
All right, cool. Thanks, you guys, for being here with us. We appreciate it very much. We like doing this live thing. We're going to probably do more live things in the future. As you can tell, we've been stepping it up a little bit lately. So there, stay safe and healthy. Be well. Happy grooming, even though we're not grooming. See you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye, everybody.
Bye now. Take care of yourselves, please.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie@thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.
All right. See, I'm human.
Yes. I think we pretty much got... Did we miss anything, anybody?
Yeah, we could just say the damn my brain. What are you going to do when I really come down with my Alzheimer's?
Oh, we'll just humor you.
What are you going to
do? Just let you drink.
Tap some ears.